Welcome back to 89.1 WEMU. Sheriff Clayton.
Hi, Lisa. How are you?
Thank you so much for taking the time to be with us today. So let's begin. I understand you have a three-part educational series you're planning for this month and in parts of October?
Just a continuation of our community engagement strategy. You know, we've done the Just Cause sessions, the impact workshops, and we participated in the town hall. And out of all of that, we hear a lot of questions that we just don't think in those other venues as an opportunity to really provide the kind of information that we hear the community wants to hear from us.
So coming up, the first one, September 14th, can you tell us about session one?
Yeah, so we're trying to take this stem to stern approach, so from the beginning all the way through our approach of services. So there are two topics. The first one's going to be recruitment, hiring, and promotion. So people ask a lot about, well, where do you go to recruit, and what are you thinking about, and what are you looking for in a deputy sheriff or a corrections officer? So we're going to talk a little bit about that, the competencies, where we go to recruit. We want to take people a little bit through the hiring process. We hear a lot of questions about, or even statements. Well, everybody should have to go through a psychological. Well, everybody does go through a psychological, and they go through a number of other things. So we really want to explain how we vet applicants to see if they're a good fit for the sheriff's office and to deliver the kind of services we want. We also want to talk a little bit about promotion, because supervision is important. So people want to know, what's your criteria when you promote someone? It's not just because you were a good deputy, you're going to be a good sergeant. We have a clear idea of what we're looking for in our command officers, and we try to promote to meet that need. And the second topic is new employee training. We believe in the absence of facts, myths emerge. I mean, I can't tell you the number of these different forums that I went to. I was at the one at Ipsy High, and there were a series of questions, just question after question after question, for specifically for the chief in Ipsy, but that really wasn't a setup for him to answer the questions. So it's not just that event. It was the same thing at the town hall. People had a lot of operational and procedural questions, but that just wasn't the time to give the kind of in-depth response that I believe people desire. I mean, you can't explain some of the complexity of the things that we deal with a 30-second soundbite. And again, we're offering it to folks. So if you're really interested, here's an opportunity to come hear what we have to say.
Session number two is coming up September 28th at Ypsilanti Township Hall. Tell us about that one.
Well, again, if you think about what's going on in the national discussion, the national discourse is another important issue. So the first topic is the evolution for us, the evolution of use of force, what we call subject control. So we're right in the middle of reforming our subject control policy and training. We want to talk a little bit about that, what the basis of that change is, what the basis of the existing policy is. You know, people have questions about the decision-making associated with when you use the different subject control techniques. What do you take into consideration? You know, what is totality of the circumstances mean? You hear questions, well, you know, the person just had a knife. Couldn't you just tase them? Well, you know, maybe, maybe not. And it's so funny because we hear sometimes when a person gets tased, people ask, well, why did you tase them? Couldn't you have just done this? When the taser is applied, people ask, well, why did you apply the taser? So a lot of it, again, is people not understanding all the different factors that go into the decisions associated with subject control tactics. And the other piece is the training that goes into it. And we want to introduce some of the new things that we're talking about, our partnership with U of M and Ann Arbor to purchase Milo and house it at WCC, and we want to talk a little bit about how that'll make us better.
What's Milo?
Milo is a new scenario system. So essentially what it is 300 degrees. You can film different scenarios, whether it's a traffic stop, pedestrian contact, potential domestic situation in a house. So you film these different scenarios. It's projected over these screens where the police officer or police officers walk into a room, and it's really almost, it's almost a 360 degree. They're almost surrounded, but it's 300 degrees, and they actually can real life simulate. So we're really focusing on the decision making and the criteria for decision-making. So when there are these use of force incidents that result in a death or a serious injury, you know, very rarely is the analysis on the actual shooting or the actual tasing. A lot of the analysis is on all the decisions and actions that led up to creating a set of circumstances where the officer had to respond a certain way. So again, trying to be proactive, trying to align training and behavioral expectations with policy so we create better outcomes for not just the deputy sheriff, but the citizen or the resident that he come in contact with.
We're talking to Washtenaw County Sheriff Jerry Clayton about an educational series they are planning for area residents, and there is a third one on October 12th.
Yeah, and the third one is for veteran employees. So how do we train veteran employees? And we're going to introduce a series that we started this year that'll continue in the next year. We call it Managing Interpersonal Interaction Series. And it's comprised of six separate training events. The first one is procedural justice. I won't bore you with all the stuff that we have synopsis that we're going to send out ahead of time. But it's procedural justice, which we've already trained all our staff in. The next one is understanding implicit bias, which will be introduced to staff starting in January, achieving cultural competence, which will follow implicit bias. At the end of this year, we're just finishing up the curriculum for managing mental health crises. We've done that in conjunction with Washtenaw Community Mental Health and in conjunction with a lot of the experts from the state of Michigan that's working on mental health diversion project. So we'll have that in place. That's a two-day event that we will start training our staff in. The other one is verbal de-escalation, and the final one will end up being a half-day session called tactical decision-making. So again, when you combine that with Milo, so we'll teach people in the classroom, make sure they have the knowledge that they need, and then we practice the skills in the Milo system where they really get to apply it in a real-life situation. So we're going to talk a little bit about that, and the last piece of session three is a description of corrections operations, that which is so oftentimes forgotten, but a lot of the loved ones in Washtenaw County, you know, some of them end up in our jail, and we believe we need to be able to share with folks, you know, how we care for those individuals, how we maintain a safe and secure environment for everyone.
And when these are all over, what is your bottom line hope, the consequences, or what's going to become from all this?
So hopefully we start to fill in some of the gaps in information and understanding. Hopefully we start to create an environment where people don't react based off of rumor. They don't react based off of stereotype. They react and respond based off of knowledge. And let me tell you what we're going to follow that with. So we may end up doing this series a couple of times, not sure, depending on the feedback we get from people. But we've already determined that so at some point next year, then we'll start the next phase, which will be targeted focus groups. So we will reach out to a cross-section of people around the county, and we will facilitate focus groups of community members. So we can start to get from them their vision of police services in Washtenaw County. What does it look like? So when people say, you know, this is the kind of police services I want, well, okay, let's talk about that. Let's challenge people to be a little more descriptive in what that means, and then we start to see what the trends are. And we start to see, get input. And when we start talking about the solution to the relationship between the people that provide the service and the people that receive the service, you know, we need to hear from the people that are receiving the service in terms of their perspective. So we'll do a series of those focus groups. Then we'll analyze the outcome of those focus groups and see if there are some common trends and themes. And then that will help us decide what our next action steps is. Is it some modifying policy? Is it, other things that we need to do? Are there things that the community needs to do? So what we're trying to do is if we're really focused on solutions, if we're really trying to enhance the relationship, let's stop doing it out of guessing or stereotypes. Let's really start to engage in dialogue that is really focused, that's thoughtful and deliberate, and then maybe we can have solutions that yield the kind of outcomes we all desire.
Washtenaw County Sheriff Jerry Clayton, thank you so much for sharing this information with us. So, of course, put a link on our website, WEMU.org, and we look forward to our next community conversation.
Well, thank you, Lisa, for giving me an opportunity to share this information.